First is this, that the Lord prepares us for persecution. Okay, so verse 1, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And Philemon is one of five letters that Paul writes from prison. He reminds Philemon at the very beginning that he is in chains for the sake of the gospel, that he is imprisoned because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And this week, if you go onto the Barnabas website, you'll read about six Christian men who have, even now today, spent 95 days in jail. And why? Because they took some Indian children, on a Bible summer camp. 95 days in jail, and the trial is still ongoing. In Nepal, they've just passed, in the last week or so, an anti-conversion bill that outlaws sharing the gospel or evangelism of any kind of people with a different religion, even though the Lord Jesus Christ makes clear that we are to share the good news with everyone, scatter the seed far and wide. Christians in northeast Nigeria have had to run away from a refugee camp. That's on the Barnabas News website because of the way they're being persecuted by the Muslims in that refugee camp. And one Christian lady said in one testimony there, she said that the Muslims had said, if you just become a Muslim, all this comes to an end. And so all around the world, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are right now standing firm in Christ because they know his love for them, and they are being upheld and carried through this persecution. And if you stand firm on the truth that Jesus is the one and only Son of God, the only way to God the Father, that he is the only gateway into heaven, and that without Jesus and trusting in him and coming to him for forgiveness and cleansing, if you are standing firm on that truth, there is no other way other than through Jesus to God, then you will be persecuted. The Bible is very clear about that. Jesus was clear about that. But remember just how much Jesus loves you and stand firm in him, as Paul did, writing, encouraging the saints around the Mediterranean area from his prison cell. You know, his love undiminished, his zeal in no way undermined or thwarted, because he knew the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for him. And we read in the word, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But you have this treasure in a jar of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to you. You are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be also manifested in your body. So do not lose heart. Though your outer self is wasting away, your inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As you look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are unseen are transient. Sorry, the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So just remember that although, as with Paul, who made a stand on the gospel, there are possibilities of chains and persecutions of all kinds, nonetheless, the Lord Jesus Christ is with you in them. And continue in him. And secondly, just remember that Jesus oversees all your trials. And again, I love the fact that he says this in that opening verse, where he calls himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. You know, while his captivity is quite sobering, his perspective on his captivity is just wonderfully uplifting and comforting. He's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And he isn't saying there that he's been captured by Jesus for gospel ministry. That's not what he's saying. He is highlighting that his imprisonment, just as your trials, whatever it is you're going through for the sake of the gospel, they are ultimately not a matter of human decision. They are at the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is upon the throne of your life, as he was on the throne of the life of the Apostle Paul. So whatever you're going through right now is ultimately under the mighty sovereign control of your Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are trusting in him. You may not be a prisoner for Christ, but you may have been excluded by others because of your love for Jesus. You may have been treated with suspicion by others, as we were hearing about this morning, the way in which you might be treated in your workplace because of your love for Jesus, because of his love for you. You may have had false accusations thrown your way. You may have been deliberately and willfully misunderstood as people seek to twist your words. All kinds of things, pressures may be being applied to you, as we heard this morning, to compromise. And yet, in all things, Jesus is working for the good of those who love him. In all things, who have been called according to his purpose. So it's a father's love, a saviour's love, a shepherd's love that leads you into these trials. And it is a father's love, a shepherd's love, a saviour's love who is with you in the midst of them. And it's that love that will also lead you out of them into green pastures beyond. But in the midst of all of them, how much can we learn from the Apostle Paul here, who has such a firm sight, as we heard this morning, his sight is so clearly fixed upon the Lord Jesus that he is enabled not to fall into introspective self-pity, but to look beyond and see the needs of his brothers and sisters and hear the needs of a humble slave who has come to know Jesus as his Saviour. So what a wonderful example that is to us, for us to follow. But thirdly, notice that we're to cherish God's everyday grace and peace. Let's look at verse 3. In the initial greeting, we find out that Timothy is with Paul, and Philemon is a dear friend of Paul's and a fellow worker. And that the church meets in Philemon's home. And Paul goes on to say this. He says to all who he's writing to, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. I don't know whether you're familiar with this, if you're new to us, but grace and peace touch on absolutely central gospel truths. And, our Heavenly Father was gracious in his dealings with his Old Testament people, but his extraordinary, free, and unmerited gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, stands at the center of the good news of the gospel. We read in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And we also read in Ephesians 1, 6 to 7, in love, God the Father predestined you for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given you in the one he loves. In him you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on you. It's difficult to take all that in, isn't it, really? For those of you who perhaps are new to all of this, the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ is beyond what you can begin to fathom. God has sent his one and only Son, who is seated at his right hand, who enjoyed all the riches of heaven, the praise of all the angelic host in glory above, who is the Son of God himself, through whom the whole universe was created. He sent him from that into our sinful, fallen world in order that you might know God, that you might be reconciled to God, be brought to know God, not know about him, to know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus came, that you might be rescued and give glory to God the Father, to bring glory to the eternal Son. And it's through faith, simple gift of faith, coming to know Jesus is through the simplest of things. You don't have to prove your worth. You're unworthy. You can't prove it. You simply come empty-handed to Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And in grace, you are rescued. You are given the gift of his Holy Spirit, who comes into your heart, who indwells you, who enables you to live a life that you could never have lived, enables you to know the living God as your Father. So this grace is central. It is wonderful. And we all need this grace. And Paul also prays for Philemon and the church in his home to be blessed with peace. And now peace, again, has this wonderful, rich Old Testament rooting. It's used by the prophets to describe this universal blessing and well-being and flourishing that God would establish with his people. Let me give an example in Ezekiel 37, verse 26. He said, I will make a covenant of peace with them, my people. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. And this peace that was prophesied has been established in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he himself is your peace, we read in Ephesians 2:14. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through